Exodus chapter 3. Fear. Fear. How many of you have been fearful this week? Raise your hand if you've been fearful. Been fearful? Fear. Since the Garden of Eden, we have experienced fear. God came down to talk to Adam and Eve, and they hid themselves because they were afraid. Fear. Fear. Will it stop God's work? Fear and unbelief go hand in hand. Fear and unbelief go hand in hand. When you have questions, when you're fearful, do you proceed? Do you go forward and you have questions about something? When you're afraid, do you go forward? No. You stop. You wonder. You say, Brother Tigner, this seems negative. Well, let's go positive. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. In order to conquer our fear, we need our relationship to God to be correct. If our relationship to God is not what it should be, fear can hinder God's work. Matthew chapter 13, verse 58. The Bible records Jesus could not do the miracles because of their unbelief. Now, if God's work was stopped in Jesus, the Son of God's life, he could not perform the miracles in that day. Does it seem to believe that we can stop the work of God today because of our fears? Because of our unbelief? Because we are not going forward because we're afraid? You say, Brother Tigner, where are you going? Well, I want to ask you a question this morning. Are we willing to change our hearts and our lives, our actions, in order to see the blessings of God poured out not only on us, but affecting everyone around us? If we live and let fear manage our lives. See, I've been there. Just like you. As a teenager, I had a serious problem. Even before I was a teenager, as a child, I was an introvert. I could not speak well. I still struggle. Today, I do not like standing before people. It makes me afraid. It's called fear. Called fear. I didn't have many friends in school, close friends in high school, college. Very introvert, very withdrawn, private individual. Say, Brother Tickner, how are you standing up there today? The grace of God. The grace of God. I don't like criticism. Brother Dowdy doesn't like it either. I have a problem with criticism because of fear. Fear causes me to act wrongly about criticism. Got pride in my life too. I battle with that. Oh, I get depressed when people criticize. Instead of looking up to Jesus, a lot of times I look at myself and see all my inadequacies. I look at other people and I complain why they have to be like that. Fear affects my life just like it affects your life. Exodus chapter 3. Moses was a failure. Moses is out in the desert, keeping sheep for his father-in-law. And God calls him to do a great and mighty work. But he has a problem answering God's call. God says, I have something great for you to do. I'm going to lead the children of Israel out of bondage, and you are going to do it. And Moses looks at the flaming bush and says, God, you don't know what you're doing. Why? Fear. Fear. Moses was set on living his life like he wanted to live, not what God wanted. Many of us have refused to do what God has called us to do. Many of us in our lives during this week have rejected God's wisdom and his providence. With bold honesty, the scripture tells us that Moses fought against God's call. Let's look at it. 5 points this morning. We may end by 2 or 3 o'clock if I cover all 24 pages of my notes. But I have reduced them down. Don't worry, I have reduced. Number one, we're going to look in verses 11 and 12 and talk about our fear of inadequacy. Number two, we'll look at verses 13 through 22 and we'll look at fear of ignorance. Fear of ignorance. Next, we'll look in chapter 4, verses 1 through 9, and we'll see the fear of iciness. We're trying to get all eyes if you haven't figured that out yet. Fear of iciness. Number 4, we'll look at verses 10 through 12 of chapter 4 and see the fear of imperfections. And last of all, but not least, chapter 4, verses 13 through 17, we'll see foregoing God's instructions. Foregoing God's instructions. Number one, the fear of inadequacy. Verse number 10, come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Fear of inadequacy. You ever feel inadequate? Some would call this humbleness. But this humbleness is mixed with fear. Because God had told Moses that he had a job for him to do. And Moses was offering excuses not to do God's will. He couldn't go before a king. He could not go and deliver Israel out of Egypt from slavery. He had been working for 40 years as a shepherd in Midian. Who was he? Moses felt incapable, unqualified, and inadequate. Do we feel like that sometimes? God, you got the wrong person. I'm not adequate for this job. Call someone else, God. Note God's reply to this argument. Verse number 12. And he said, certainly I will be with thee. And this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. 2 points here. 2 points. Good points, by the way. God gives good arguments. They need to be because we're stubborn. Anybody else stubborn in here? Okay, got a couple. I had to raise both hands. God made two great promises. Number one, I will be with you. God's very own presence would be with Moses. God himself would equip Moses. I'm inadequate, God. God says, don't look at you. Your helper that goes before you, he's going to take care of everything. Don't worry about your inadequacy. I am going with you. I will prepare the way. I will do the work. Okay? What does that mean? God will give the inner strength and ability as needed. Sometimes I get agitated. God, why can't you give it before time? Why is it as needed? God gives us what we need for the time. God will arouse the confidence, the assurance, and the faith needed to do the task. God will lead, guide, and work things out. I'm reminded when God promised to be with Isaac in Genesis 28:15, and behold, I am with thee, told Isaac, Joshua in Joshua 1:5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, I will be with thee. As I was with Moses. Can we have the power of D.L. Moody? As I was with Moses, I'll be with thee. Is it the same God? Does God give the same power? Yeah. Could we have a D.L. Moody here today that will spike a revival across the land? But you know what will stop God's work? Fear. He could not do the miracles because of their unbelief. Fear and unbelief go hand in hand. What will we do with our fear? Will we say, okay, God is with me, I will go. I do not fear my inadequacies because it's not me. It's not my power. It's not my abilities. It's not my presence. It's God's presence. He said it to Isaac. He said it to Joshua over and over again. He said it to Jeremiah, Jeremiah 1:8, be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. He said it to Haggai in Haggai 1:13. He says it to us as Christians, Matthew 28, and I am with you always and even unto the end of the world. Amen? Amen? Do you agree? God is with us today. It's not us that is going to free children out of bondage of sin, out of slavery to the devil. It's God that's going. He just wants to use us. It's not about our fear of inadequacy. God, I can't do it. Who am I? It's not looking at us. It's looking about how great a God we serve. We have a great God. Are we grieving the Spirit of God in our lives due to our fear-generated rebellion? Are we thinking about who we are instead of thinking how great God is? There's our fear of inadequacy. God said, I'm going to be with you. But he didn't stop there. The second part of that is, when thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God. What is that? It's not a promise of his presence. This is a promise of a successful mission. You're going to succeed, Moses. Don't worry about who you are. This is going to be a success. And it's not because of you. It's because of me working in you. You're going to do this. Okay? What does that mean for us? Well, this was a future sign, a sign that Moses had to believe. No person is qualified to serve God. No person is capable. No person is adequate. No person is sufficient, not in their own strength, not in their own abilities. If we try to do it in our own power, what's going to happen? We're going to fail. Then we get discouraged because we try to do it without God and we're not relying upon God. Our relationship to God is the most important. I'm going to repeat it over and over. Our relationship to God is important because God is going to do the task. Our fear of inadequacy makes us not believe God promises. God promised Moses, Moses, you're going to do this. You're going to lead them out. And you're going to serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said, hallelujah. No. He didn't say hallelujah. His fear kept him from rejoicing in God's promises. Let me read you some of God's promises. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20. Hebrews 13, 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Revelation 5:13, and every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. What's the end? What's the end result? Is God going to be glorified? Will all honor and glory in all the earth, under the earth, in the heavens, in the sea, everything is going to glorify God. Do you believe it? Do you act in faith upon your belief that God is going to win? When the team is winning, we cheer. When the team doesn't win, we're quiet. How's your faith this week in the workplace? Were you cheering the winning team? Did you believe that God will be glorified? It is a difficult time. Did Moses face opposition? Were his fears warranted? Did Moses know about Pharaoh and his power in Egypt? Did Moses know about the children of Israel? Did Moses know about himself? Was his fear of inadequacy unbased upon facts? No. But it was not based upon faith. There's a difference between basing our lives upon facts as we see them and walking by faith. We've talked about fear of inadequacy, and we have 5 points or more. We better move on. Fear of ignorance. What's that, Brother Tigner? Fear of ignorance. Verse number 13, Moses said in to God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? Moses is thinking, what am I going to say? What am I going to do? This is good. It's good to think, plan. Yeah, it's good. He had fears of ignorance. who's ignorance? There's a lot of ignorance. First of all, he talked about the fear of the children of Israel not knowing who God was and who Moses was representing. Okay, how are they going to know who you are, God? You know, there's some problems here. First, many Israelites were like many people today. They've turned away from God and turned to false religions. Remember, even after this, Joshua got up in Joshua chapter 24 and said, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." Verse number 14, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve you the Lord." Was Israel serving the Lord in Egypt? By the word of God? Nope. They were serving false gods. Moses knew that not all the people were on board. They had questions about who God was because there was ignorance. Is there any ignorance in our world today about God? And does it create fear in our minds about what we are going to say? When they ask me questions, what am I going to say? Any of you fear about having the right words to say? I prayed a lot this week. You know why? I fear. I battle fear every day of my life. Especially when I get to talking to people. You say, "Brother Tigner, why are you being so open?" I'm hoping that maybe one or two people in here today will acknowledge the truth and listen to God's help. I'm here to help this morning. Help overcome fears of inadequacy, fears of ignorance. Okay, what am I going to say? Not only did the children of Israel not know about God, they had been enslaved and tortured for 400 years. And in their minds, no God had ever shown any interest in them. How is this God going to bring us out of Egypt? Moses had some questions that the children of Israel weren't just going to accept him coming. There was no chance the people were going to accept him, a man who suddenly appeared upon the scene declaring that God had sent him to deliver and save them. That they were going to be skeptical. We don't face any skeptics when we talk about God today, do we? No unbelief, no ignorance when we share people about Jesus Christ and his power to save. No one doubts that, do they? There's fear. What do we do with our fear? Luke 19:10. Luke chapter 19, verse 10. Very short verse, but very powerful. Luke chapter 19, verse number 10. "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Why was God sending Moses? There was a need. And there was a God that loved, that needed to provide for that need. Why did God send his Son, Jesus, to this world? To save that which was lost. Doesn't matter if you're fearful because of ignorance of not knowing God. God wants you to know him. God sent his Son so that we may know about his love and how he wants to have a relationship with us. God Almighty wants to have a relationship with us. John chapter 20, verse 21. Then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." Jesus was sent from the Father to save the lost. Jesus tells his disciples, those that follow him, church, we need to follow Christ. Jesus said to his disciples, as the Father sent me, I send you. I send you. We are sent to a skeptical world to tell them, I'm going to bring you out of bondage, and I have a home prepared for you in heaven. This is our message. Luke Titus 2:11 through 15. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak, exhort, and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Let no man despise thee. Are we to shudder because of questions? Questions have been asked this week. Questions that some have not responded to because of fear. We have a job, Christians, to share the truth without fear. And we should not let any man despise us because of our authority. It's not who we are. It's who we serve. It's the message we have, which is the truth. And there's no reason to back down. God's reply to his argument, we see in verses 13 through 22, and we can't cover all this morning. There's no way. Declare God's name. I am. The Lord said, I am that I am. We could talk about this for 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 sermons. Wow. I am have sent you. Who is this? It's the eternal one, the perfect one, the absolute one, the uncaused one, the God that reveals himself, who establishes a personal relationship with man, the God that's completely dependable, utterly trustworthy. He can be relied upon completely. I am that I am. Jehovah Jireh, Genesis 22:14. I will provide. Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah is my banner. He's my protection. Jehovah Shalom, God is my peace. I am that I am. Jehovah Roy, he's my shepherd. Psalms chapter 23. Jehovah Hosanu, the Lord our God, Jehovah. He's my master. He's whom I'm following. He's the one that's going before me. He's my captain. He's my leader. I am that I am have sent you. Same God that sent Moses sends us. The God that will provide. The God that oversees everything. The Creator. Not only should we announce the name of God, but we need to announce the identity of God. When people are skeptic, we need to say, I'm serving God, the Creator. Now, not only did God tell Moses who he was, he said his identity. Verse number 15, God said, moreover unto Moses. This is a big thing. There's verses and verses and verses upon God's reply to skepticism. You need to study these. We cannot cover all of it today. There's no way. What do you do when people say, oh, who sent you? Are you sure? Well, God gives a reply. There's 10 points here. There's 10 points that we need to be familiar with. The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. Verse number 15. God says, remind the people that I am the God of their fathers. We don't do this in America today. People are skeptic and we don't say, hey, I'm serving the God that George Washington, Patrick Henry, our forefathers served the Lord. They served the Lord. Our country was founded upon a belief in God. That is trying to be eroded today in all aspects of society. Our freedoms are being attacked because of unbelief and skepticism. We need to share that when a nation departs from God's principles, God will judge that nation. Do we remind people? God says, the Lord God of your fathers. Verse number 15, this is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. A memorial. Why are we here today? We're honoring God. We're honoring God. We are remembering what He has done. We're uplifting His name, and that is what we need to do in our homes during the week. We need to raise Him up as a memorial. We need to do it in our workplaces. God needs to be uplifted in America. And where is it going to happen? If it doesn't happen with the church, who's the church? We're the church. But if we let our fears zip our mouths, so we are not being a memorial, we're not representing God, it's fearful how the leadership of our country today wants to do away with our rights. And they bombard sacred things like life. Life is sacred. And we should honor what God says in His Word. Verse number 16, go and gather the elders of Israel together. God told Moses to say unto them, verse number 16, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob appeared unto me saying, surely I have visited you and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. God is concerned. God is concerned. We don't serve a God that doesn't know and is not concerned. We have 4,000 years of history. Right here. Once and again, time after time after time, God intervened in man's history. And the last greatest event that's recorded in here is about the greatest event that God intervened, and that's his sending his son so that the world can be saved. We have history. We have 4,000 years of history that God cares, that God has showed, has revealed. Miracles have been performed. Go gather the elders together and go before Pharaoh. This should give us some comfort. Okay. Let's gather together and go soul winning. What are we doing? We're gathering elders from the church. We're gathering people that are about like mind, that wants to see freedom, and we're going to save a man's soul. And what were the response of God's people? Well, the people were going to unite with Moses and going to go before Pharaoh. Moses wasn't going to have to stand there all alone to begin with. The people were going to be joyous, and they were going to unite, and they were going to go together. Moses was to declare God's promise of deliverance to the elders, verse number 17. And we're going to skip over to verse number 18. Moses was to declare God's promise to him, and that the people would listen and accept his leadership. And they shall hearken to thy voice, is verse number 18. Will God touch people's hearts? Will they listen? Yeah. My word will not return void. Yeah, we have promises. We have promises. Moses was to declare God's instructions to the leaders. They were to go before Pharaoh, verse number 18, and tell Pharaoh to let us go, and that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. We have a right to worship. We need to go and worship. That's a freedom that we have. Moses was unsure about questions. And one of the biggest things, I think, was verse number 19. I don't know why God put this in all the positive stuff he says that we should share, but here it is. And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go. No, not by a mighty hand. Is everyone going to be happy? Should that cause us not to go? Because God has said, not everyone's going to go to heaven. There's only one way. There's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. There's one way. Jesus said, I am the way. So everyone going to be happy with that? No. Was Pharaoh happy? No. Was Pharaoh stubborn and arguing? Yeah, there was a fight. Keep reading chapter 5. But Moses wasn't supposed to stop when he heard that there was going to be opposition. Verse number 20. And I will stretch out my hand. See, God is in control. It doesn't matter if people reject. God is still in control. And God's hand will prevail. Moses was to declare God's judgment and assurance, and he was to declare God's power. And you know, after all this, 10 reasons why Moses should not worry about skepticism or questions. He wasn't to worry about his inadequacy. He was not to worry about his ignorance. He still has problems, and he still argues with God, I can't go. He said, there's iciness about me. There's iciness. Chapter 4, verse number 1, Moses answered and said, "Behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee." God, why should I go? They're not going to believe. I've gone, and they're not going to believe. So why go? They're icy. I don't need to witness to him. He's not going to, you know, he's skeptic. He's an atheist, God. Why should I witness to him? Was that fair to the children of Israel, what Moses is saying about them? Did they reject Moses? Did the children of Israel reject Moses when he presented himself? You know, did God lead the children of Israel out of Egypt? Did God show his power? Did God prevail? God did prevail. So why did Moses tell God, "God, they're too icy. You can't prevail against this. I don't need to go"? Was it really, really faithful to the children of Israel that Moses is telling them, "Hey, this people will not be moved"? We can use the same argument. God, why should I go to this world? The Bible says the faith of many shall wax cold. So why should I go? Why should I talk? Why should I fight? Moses talked about the iciness because of the fear of personal rejection. I just don't feel like being rejected. He was still thinking about himself instead of thinking about who was going with him, who God was, and who's going to be rejected. When we carry the truth and people reject, they're not rejecting us, they're rejecting God. And we need to share that fact. And we shouldn't keep quiet because people are icy and people, they're skeptics in this world. God is the one that quickens. God is the one that has made us alive in Christ Jesus, Ephesians chapter 2. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We must carry the message. Let God work in people's heart, because it is he that quickens us together in Christ Jesus. Moses was concerned about people being icy, cold, rejecting. There was three things here that God presented. God said, "What's in your hand? A rod." He threw it down, became a snake. Snake being the symbol of Egypt, like the eagle is the symbol of America, and Russia is the bear. Snake, symbol of Egypt. Threw it down. Picked it up by the tail. Why? God can control the snake by the tail. This is a powerful message. Not only can God control the kingdoms of this world, he is Lord of lords and King of kings. He can control sickness and health, disease, leprosy. God controls the world. Harvest, turning the water into blood. What? God controls the bread and water. Wow, God showed himself time after time, miracle after miracle with Jesus Christ. Argument number 4, he said, "I'm not eloquent. God, you can't use me. I don't have the abilities." God said, "Okay, I'll send Aaron. I will give you someone that can work with you. You know, the Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned," Isaiah chapter 50, verse number 4, "that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He waketh morning by morning, he waketh mine ear to hear as a learned." The fifth excuse was God send, by the hand of whom thou shalt send. In other words, God, I just won't go. I've heard everything, and you know, I'm just not the person, God. We can stop the work of God because of fear and unbelief. God wants to do a great and mighty work in our lives, and by working through us, He can reach the world for Jesus Christ. God wants to help people get out of slavery of sin and from Satan. What was God's response about foregoing God's instruction? God's instruction was clear. Go. I'm going to forego this. I'll send someone else, Moses said. And the Lord was angered. And Moses wasn't allowed to say anything else after this. God ended the argument. God ended the argument. Moses, you're going. I'm going to be with you. Stop worrying about your fears. Stop worrying about the skepticism, the iciness of the people. Stop worrying about your inadequacies. I will be with thee. We'll end with 2 Timothy 1, verse 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Verse number 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. According to the power of God. What did God do in chapter 5? And God showed his power upon Egypt. What does God want to do? Conquer our fears and show his power through our lives. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we come to you humbly asking for your help, your guidance, your wisdom, your instruction, because we are inadequate. We do not have the words, we do not have the power. And a lot of times we rebel against your guiding because of our fear. Lord, may you be honored and may you work in our lives and the lives of those around us as we stand together.